Warning, liberals may be offended at some of the content of this radio show. If you're a liberal and you're offended by the conservative truth expressed here on the Doug Hagan Radio Show, if you're left, you just ain't right, let me say from the bottom of my heart, I really could give a shit less. You don't have a constitutional right not to be offended. Get used to it. Welcome, my friends, to If You're Left, You Just Ain't Right. I am Doug Hagan. And this week, there is a plethora of things to talk about. We could talk about the Girl Scouts being told that they need to be worried about being hot. Yes, Girl Scouts. We've got something regarding our agents in Mexico that is going to absolutely make your head explode. It made mine explode. We've got something from the Obama State Department that may make your head explode. We've got a story about how staring at women's breasts is actually healthy for men. I told you, feminuts. I told you. We've got Islamists who want to defile the Statue of Liberty. We've got Chris Matthews having Obamagasms. We've got high school football under attack by the feminuts. We've got a story about a naval ship that's going to be named for, well, a piece of trash. All of that, my friends, and much, much more starts right about now. Welcome back, my friends. Welcome to If You're Left, You Just Ain't Right, right here on the Chimpsy Radio, Radio Network. World's most dangerous group of cyber radio hosts you're ever going to want to meet. And we're all good-looking people. You probably do want to meet us. Remember Chatango. Come in the chat room, talk to us during the shows. Remember our Facebook page. Remember my blog, thedailygator.wordpress.com. I'm not only there, but the greatness of Edward Daly is there. If you want to prank a liberal, my friends, give him my blog address. Tell him it's a left-leaning blog. And just watch their head explode. I want to kick off the show this week with a couple stories that are just maddening, disgusting. And let's start with the Girl Scouts, shall we? Now, the Girl Scouts are out right now kidnapping people and forcing them at gunpoint to buy cookies. That's not actually true. But everywhere you go, there's cute little girls selling cookies. And it's hard not to buy cookies. The Girl Scouts always thought that was a very noble enterprise, like the Boy Scouts. There's a story, though, about the Girl Scouts, how it's slumping the leadership, not the girls, into leftism. The World Association, this from the Other McCain blog, by the way, the World Association of Girl Scouts and Girl Guides hosted a No Adults Welcome panel at the United Nations. That's your first sign of trouble. The United Nations was involved in March of last year, so about a year ago, where Planned Parenthood, that's sign number two that something's really wrong, was allowed to distribute a brochure. The brochure entitled Healthy, Happy, and Hot. Healthy, nothing wrong with that. Happy, nothing wrong with that. Even though the perverse definition of health and healthy, according to Planned Parenthood, is how many babies you butcher in your womb. But hot, why should girls of that age be worried about being hot? They should be worried about the new Justin Bieber poster or something. Nothing about hot should enter these little girls' minds. Now, the brochure claims, now this is Girl Scouts, little girls, understand, this is given to them. The brochure says, many people think that sex is just about vaginal or anal intercourse, but there's a lot of different ways to have sex and a lot of different types of sex. Again, this is addressed to little girls. There is no right or wrong way to have sex. Just have fun, explore, and be yourself. Again, addressed to little girls. Who wrote this, some pedophile? I have to ask, because you're telling little girls to have fun. No right or wrong about sex. Hell yes, there is right and wrong about sex. There are wrong things to do sexually. And when you're addressing little girls, this whole thing is wrong. And if I was a parent of one of those little girls, God help the SOB at Planned Parenthood that wrote this and distributed it. I would probably be in jail. The Girl Scouts, along with the YWCA, have been co-moderating a young women's caucus that included an intergenerational conversation, side event on universal access and reproductive health, meaning abortions. Because when you're just having fun and there's no wrong way to have sex, if you happen to get pregnant, there's certainly nothing wrong with killing your baby, right? One recent Girl Scout project aims at securing the right of women, men, and adolescents aged between 10 and 25 to better reproductive and sex health. No one from the age of 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, I guess some states age can say to 16, but should be worried about sex. This is perverse. It is obscene. It is despicable. It's disgusting. It is absolutely right down the alley of the cesspool that Planned Parenthood is. A bunch of baby butchering, debauchery and taking pieces of human filth. And our tax dollars go to this. And Obama, by the way, has said, any bill, any spending bill that cuts funding for Planned Parenthood, he's going to veto. I guess he knows where at least part of his chickens are to come home to roost, to quote his rant racist ex-reverend. Despicable, my friends. Despicable. Truly, truly, truly despicable. But there's something else that you have to know about the NEA and this whole business of underage kids and sex. The pedophiles at the NEA, oh, I'm going to get in trouble for that one. NEA to the UN, they want to teach oral sex, masturbation, and orgasms. Well, at least they're not teaching them Obamagasms. They can have Chris Matthews come in and just go off on one of his freak shows about how much he loves him some Obama. But from the All-American Blogger, this story. The United Nations was busy recently deciding what every country in the world needs to be teaching their wards. Not wanting to be left out of any meeting that involves the programming of children's minds, the NEA, National Education Association, had a seat at the table. They brought their sexualization of children packet and made the case for teaching, well, everything to middle school kids. Oral sex, masturbation, and orgasms need to be taught in education, Diane Schneider told the audience at a panel on combating homophobia and transphobia. I guess transphobia is transsexual. It's not people that are scared of Transylvania. I hope not, anyway. Schneider, representing the National Education Association, the largest teachers' union, those unions, in the U.S., advocated for more inclusive sex education in U.S. schools where curricula based on liberal hetero and homosexual expression. She claimed that the idea of sex education remains an oxymoron if it is abstinence-based or if students are still able to opt out. Well, it should be up to the parents. I don't have a problem with sex education, but indoctrination I have a big problem with. Teaching kids that everything is okay, no matter how old you are, 10 years old, whatever it is, go have sex, have fun, do whatever you want, is obscene, perverse, disgusting, despicable, and criminal, I believe. The NEA, along with Planned Parenthood, along with apparently the leadership of the Girl Scouts of America, and even the YWCA, is out there turning our children into what? Sexaholics now? And look, again, I don't have a problem with sex education. I don't have a problem with it at all, but it needs to be taught in terms of many things, including all the STDs that are out there. I remember listening to a lady on the radio one time talking about STDs. That's 10 years ago. I'm 30-something. And I was blown away by the number of STDs I'd never even heard of. This is what kids need to know. They need to know everything, including the risks. And not just pregnancy or herpes or AIDS or burn when I pee. No, everything. Horrible, horrible, horrible things. But the leftist wants to indoctrinate our children. This is despicable and disgusting, all in the name of making sure that kids don't hate gay people. You know how not to make your kids hate gay people? Tell them to be nice to everybody, respect everybody. Tell them there's differences in people, but don't judge people until you get to know them. Try that. Worked with me, worked with my sister, worked with all the kids I grew up around. We didn't have to be indoctrinated by some leftist perverts to understand that. Now, let's get to something else here, real quick. The feminuts. I love calling them feminuts. Because A, it pisses them off, and B, it just summarizes what they're about to a T, I think. Ah, it's so fun to irritate them. They have their sights set on an evil. An evil, at least according to them. The National Women's Law Center, also known as the NWLC, a group of feminist lawyers, think Gloria Allred. You know who Gloria Allred is? Think of that evil witch. Multiplied, many of them, a plethora of Gloria Allreds, getting together. They're going after high school districts throughout this nation. Why would they be assaulting and casting their evil glare upon high schools across the nation? They want schools to offer exactly equal opportunities to girls as to boys in high school sports by establishing a strict quota system. Liberals love them some quotas. They're obsessed with equality. But not just equality of access or equality of opportunity. No, they want equality of results. They want everybody to be the same no matter what. They want to level that playing field. You can't level a playing field. Some people are smarter, better looking. How many job interviews have you ever been to, my friends? Guess what? Every time you go to a job interview, there are people better qualified than you, and some not as nearly qualified as you, that have applied and interviewed. And there's so many factors. If you want to be a news anchor and you go to journalism school and you go through all the broadcasting school and then you go to CNN or Fox or, well, no one would go to MSNBS, but you go to a news, whether it's your local station, whatever, you're going to be judged on your voice. You may have great skills, but if your voice stinks, if you sound like the nanny, you're probably not going to get the gig. If you're unattractive, it's a good chance you're not going to get on TV either. Some people are better looking, they sound better, they have more charisma on camera, whatever it is, there's no equal playing field. Some people are just better qualified than others. That's just the way it is. That's reality. That's why the left hates it. And that's why their plans or quotas to reinvent what equality means never work. Now, this is what these witches want to do. They're offended by certain things. Like, you know, boys playing high school football and girls not, I guess. Now, at Big Government, Adam Sparks writes this. To some, this may sound fair on its surface, but in reality, its execution has meant the closure of popular varsity sports for men throughout the nation in favor of female sports teams, where coaches can hardly muster a team or find a league to play in which generates even less public interest. In other words, no one cares about a lot of women's sports. The NCAA men's tournament's coming up. So does the NCAA women's tournament. Guess which one garners more interest? You want to take a guess? Probably about 10 or 12 to 1, the men's tournament. This is what's wrong with what feminists want to do in this case. They want to punish the successful. Again, another tenet of leftism. Punish the successful. In favor of the less successful. In all in pursuit of their perverse definition of what equality is. This will come to no good. This will come to no good, I guarantee you, folks. Let's talk about John Murtha, the congressman who is now thankfully dead. I know, that's mean to say, but he was a piece of human filth. Not only was he a crook, the king of pork as a congressman, not only did he call his own constituents stupid rednecks, but he was a Marine veteran who served in Vietnam, and certainly every American should appreciate his service. But as a congressman, an ultra-liberal congressman, he said about Marines who were accused of war crimes in Haditha, in Iraq. What he said about them was that they just killed in cold blood. They just committed cold-blooded murder, threw his fellow Marines under the bus without any proof, without them having the benefit of any trials, with no evidence presented. He saw an opportunity to make political points against the Iraq War, and he didn't mind slurring and slandering fellow Marines. And I'm sorry, no matter what service he rendered in Vietnam, he overdrew his checking account for heroism when he said that about the Marines. The Marines, who were, by the way, found innocent of charges, and he never apologized. He should have been kicked out of Congress. Every other congressman should have demanded he resign, regardless of their party. Jack Murtha, though, is come back from the dead to haunt us one more time. The U.S. Navy says it's forging ahead with its decision to name a warship for the late John Murtha, a Pennsylvania Democrat. Despite protest, the decorated Vietnam War veteran was disloyal in his 2006 accusation that Marines had murdered Iraqi civilians. There are Facebook pages opposing the decision, made actually back in April of last year. Thousands of angry postings. The Navy website drew critical comments with the announcement. The Washington Times voiced its outrage in an editorial titled Sink the Murtha. So this guy lied about fellow Marines on national TV, slandered them, slurred them, accused them of being cold-blooded murderers. And now the Navy is somehow going to name a warship for him? Why don't they name a latrine for him? That would be much, much better use of the Navy's resources. I think name a latrine for him. Bertha Latrine. In fact, just name, change the name of the whole, entire military. Don't call it the latrine anymore. Don't call it the shit house. Call it Bertha. Call it the Bertha House. I think that would be, I think that'd be a wonderful thing. Now, you know what hasn't been in the news lately, folks? If you have noticed, TSA, there was a big firestorm about the full body scanners, the nude body scanners, whatever you want to call them, and some of the abuses heaped on travelers by the TSA agents, going too far, frisking six-year-old boys and making people disrobe and feeling up women and harassing people who were, breast cancer survivors and things like that. Well, the TSA may have gone too far. They may have picked a fight they can't win. See, TSA has now pissed off the state of Texas. Never a good idea. Of all the states in the union that you would never want to piss off, near the top, if not at the top, is the state of Texas. And Texas has had it with the TSA, apparently. House Bill, Texas House Bill 1938, has been introduced. And this is part of what it says. An airport operator may not allow body imaging scanning equipment to be installed or operated in any airport in this state. In other words, you take your new body scanners and you can stick them where the sun doesn't shine. Thank you. An airport operator commits an offense if the operator fails to comply with subsection B. In other words, they meant what they said. An airport operator who commits an offense under subsection C is subject to a civil penalty in an amount not to exceed $1,000 for each day of the violation. Yes, we will fine you if you do what we tell you not to do. There's another House Bill, 1937. It includes the following. As part of a search performed to grant access to a publicly accessible building or form of transportation intentionally, knowingly, or recklessly, searches another person without probable cause to believe the person committed an offense and touches the anus, sexual organs, or breast of the other person, including touching through clothing, or touches the other person in a manner that would be offensive to a reasonable person. An offense under subsection A3 is a state jail felony. Both bills also empower the Texas Attorney General, Greg Abbott, by the way, good guy, also suing to stop Obamacare, to bring suit in court. Now, according to the 10th Amendment Center, Texas stands on solid ground if they pass this. And you know what? If they do, other states will follow. There's no doubt about it. The TSA is in the process, I think, of wearing out their welcome with some of their hijinks. And as you listen to me read part of that bill, no matter how good a bill is, do you notice the language just, even if it's a good bill, even if something I support in this case, it makes my head twist in knots listening and trying to figure out, God, what are they really saying? Legalese is a dangerous thing, my friends. A dangerous, dangerous thing. Now, one of my favorite topics, one of the easy targets on this show is Chris Matthews. Chris Matthews is, he's a nut. There's no doubt about it. Chris Matthews has been on NBC a long time, has his show Hardball on MSNBS, and he loves President Obama, and he loves to rip people like Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and others. The other night on a show, he said Newt Gingrich, who I'm not the biggest fan of, said Newt Gingrich looked like a car bomber. So Newt Gingrich to him looks like a terrorist. I've never seen a lot of terrorists on video that look like Newt Gingrich. Not that that's a bad thing for terrorists, because you have to be a little intimidating to be a terrorist, and let's face it, Newt is hardly intimidating physically. In fact, Newt Gingrich, if you want to get down to it, looks a hell of a lot like Chris Matthews in ways. The same stupid haircut, the same stupid face, the same stupid fat face. But he really is famous for saying that when he hears Obama speak, this back, I believe, in the 2008 election, that a thrill ran up his legs, encouraging people like me to call him Chris Crazy Legs Matthews, others call him Tingles, and accusing him of having spontaneous obamagasms. Well, on his show, he was talking to Michael Eric Dyson. Now, Michael Eric Dyson is one of the most obnoxious of the race pimps. Everything skin color to this guy. He is bitter, bitter, bitter to the bone. Very, very left wing. And to me, he belongs on MSNBS. He's a great guest because the kind of people MSNBS is marketing to would actually believe that Michael Eric Dyson has some shred of credibility or intelligence. But Chris Matthews, reading from the transcript from the show, says this: the fact is that President Obama was playing that other all-American sport, basketball. He was on a championship team. There's a great picture, looking great there. They won the Hawaii State Championship. Because everyone knows, right, Chris, that Hawaii and basketball are, well, not exactly synonymous. All this is on the record. He was a regular kid who kept his nose clean, did everything right, ended up on the Harvard Law Review, has a wonderful marriage, a wonderful wife. She got herself through Princeton, I believe. Her brother coached out of Oregon State. Everything about them is 100% true blue American. They have done everything right in their life. Everything. They've never sped. They've never not tipped a waitress. Everything they've done has been right. Everything, according to Chris Matthews. Done nothing wrong in their life, he continues. They haven't gone out and gobbled for money. Excuse me, Chris. One of the things that politicians do is gobble for money. Really, Chris? But he's not done, folks. They have done the right thing in terms of public values. Then he turns to Eric, the race pimp. Eric, I just want to get back to you, sir. It just seems to me when a guy has done every darn thing right to live the American dream, even to the point of perfection. He's perfect now, according to Chris Matthews. Michael, I wonder what the conversations are like in the black community about this. Because liberal fatheads like Chris Matthews are obsessed with what the black community is thinking. You want to do the black community a favor, Chris? Stop referring to it as a black community. Start referring to them as Americans. Stop focusing on what they look like, Chris Matthews. Worry about what they are. Race shouldn't matter, Chris. Get over it, please. But back to Chris Matthews. I mean, you're not speaking for it or anything, but it must be amazing in the barbershops and regular places where people talk, you know, chattering about this, where there's a guy out there who's done everything right. As he mentioned, he's done everything right in his life, by the way, yet. It's not like he's done a couple things wrong in his life. I mean, this guy's the dream. Good Lord. Chris Matthews, get a room. I bet he actually had to wear a condom during this. Probably two of them in case the first one broke. This passes for journalism at MSNBS. This passes for serious political commentary. Then Michael Eric Dyson cuts in with his intelligent remark. Look, look, if you can't like this black man, not only as president, but as another human being, there's no black man been made that's existing that you will like. In other words, you're a racist if you don't like Obama. You're just a damn racist piece of filth if you don't like Obama. Because Obama's perfect. That is what you get on MSNBS, and that's why I continue to refer to that network as MSNBS, even though they got rid of, what's that guy's name? Keith Olbermann, yes. How could I forget Keith Olbermann? He's on Current TV, by the way, where he says he rules. He's in charge of Current TV. Really? You know, I'm in charge of my bathroom, Keith. That's about it. It's about the equality of being the ruling guy at current TV. Al Gore's current TV, by the way. And let's face it, if it took a nut like Keith Olbermann, it had to be hired by another nut like Al Gore. Maybe they could get together and give each other sponge baths and talk about global warming or something, or how stupid Sarah Palin is, or how stupid Michelle Bachmann is. Maybe they could do that. But now a little music, a little George Thorogood. Great tune called Who Do You Love? Just a great tune. Sit back, enjoy. I'll be back.
I walk 47 miles of barbed wire. I got a cobra snake for a necktie. A brand new house along the roadside, and it's made out of rattlesnake hide. Got a brand new gin that baby built on top, and it's made out of human skull. Come on, take a little walk with me, baby, and tell me who do you love? Love. Now lying down, I use a rattlesnake whip. Take it easy, baby, don't you give me no lip. Who do you love? Who do you love? I got a tombstone and a graveyard mine. I'm just 22 and I don't mind dying. Who do you love? Lonesome George, you don't understand. Who do you love? The night was dark and the sky was blue. Down the alleyway, I swag and flew. Hit a bump and somebody screamed. You should have heard just what I seen. Who do you love? Who do you love? We'll be right back.
Welcome back, my friends. That was George Thorogood. Great tune. Love George Thorogood. Love that tune. And that's making a comeback right now because Sam Adams uses that in some of their ads on TV. Good beer, Sam Adams. Very good beer they make, by the way. Try their Double Bock. Phenomenal beer. And by the way, I'm not pushing you to be an alcoholic or anything. I'm just saying there's nothing wrong with good beer. Hey, if George Washington's favorite beer was porter, and Ben Franklin said, beer is good and proof that God loves us. Nothing wrong with a nice cold beer. Remember, moderation. Don't be an idiot about it. Now, let's talk about a California girl. Story from Fox News. 13-year-old girl who ran away from home, not because she was angry, because the parents didn't want her to date an older guy. No, it's because apparently, according to her, her mother and the Muslim man she married wanted to send her to Pakistan to become, well, an unwilling partner in an arranged marriage. One of those great traditions the Islamic faith has all too often. Investigators, who spent more than a week searching for a 13-year-old girl her family feared had run away with someone she met online, was found unharmed at a hotel Wednesday where she said she had been hiding to avoid being forced into an arranged marriage in Pakistan. Jessie Bender was taken into child protective custody as authorities decide whether to recommend filing charges against her family. San Bernardino County Sheriff's spokeswoman Cindy Bachman said that no arrests have been made. A call to the Bender family home in the desert city of Hesperia went unanswered late Wednesday. Jessie's mother reported her missing on the 22nd of February, told authorities that the daughter was upset about having to go on a two-month vacation to her father's native Pakistan. Well, I wonder why she would be upset about an arranged marriage. Doesn't she know she's 13 and no kind of sex is wrong? Just ask the NEA and the Girl Scouts, right? Planned Parenthood, there's no wrong sex. No age limits, do whatever you want, right? Disgusting. Several days later, Melissa Bender told investigators she was worried her daughter had run off with someone she was communicating with on Facebook. Her statement launched a nationwide kidnapping investigation by the FBI, U.S. Marshals Service, and multiple law enforcement agencies, fearful that the girl was with an internet predator. Little did they know that apparently the predator was her own father at home. And mother, too. Detectives served several search warrants, and investigators reached as far as Chicago because the mother believed the person who befriended her daughter on Facebook lived there. All that information was misleading, Bachman said. Whoever she was communicating with online was not a threat to her. So it looks like the mother and father made this up to hide what they were doing. Then detectives begin to focus on the Bender family. They learned that a relative was hiding Jessie in a nearby town of Apple Valley, an uncle, out of fear that she would be taken to Pakistan. That relative led detectives to the hotel early Wednesday. Jessie's three siblings were also taken into CPS custody, pending the completion of the investigation. All the information that was obtained by investigators will be sent to the DA's office for review, and I'm sure they'll make some sort of recommendation. Now, I don't have the facts in this case, and I don't want to unnecessarily accuse this girl's parents, but you are aware that these things do happen in Islamic countries. It arranged marriage. Women, whether it be a 13-year-old girl or a 33-year-old woman, doesn't matter. They really have no rights. They're cattle. They're third- or fourth-class citizens. They have no voice in their own destiny. Now, what I want to know, why is it the feminists are out there crusading against high school football, trying to force people to watch women's sports they don't want to watch, trying to indoctrinate young girls into being sluts, as the NEA and Planned Parenthood, the YWCA, and the boys, the Girl Scout leadership apparently wants them to be. Why is it They're so concerned over those things and not more concerned over stories like this. Why is it that the left, especially the feminists, never seem to get upset over Sharia law? Any mention of Sharia law will bring condemnation from them, but they'll condemn anyone accusing anyone of trying to implement a Sharia law here or anywhere else in the country. Despite the Islamic clerics that say, yes, we want to implement Sharia law across the globe, and that the flag of Islam will fly over the White House one day. They ignore all those things, and they focus on making sure babies are killed in the womb. That's a really important thing for the feminists today. Talk about depraved. Talk about morally retarded. People wonder why I use the term morally retarded. Someone commented on my blog a while back, angry because I used the word morally retarded. The retarded part is what they're worried about, that I was being offensive to retarded people. No. Retardation has a word. The word retarded has a definition. And if your moral growth is retarded, so retarded that you blame Israel when they're attacked by terrorists, or the United States when they're attacked by terrorists, or when you turn a blind eye to Sharia law, when you turn a blind eye to the evils of leftism and radical Islam, then yes, you're morally retarded, and you deserve to be called morally retarded. That's why I use that term. Now, let's talk a bit about Obama and the race card, shall we? Let's talk about Obama playing the race card. According to U.S. News, Obama has said that race was a key component in Tea Party protests. Here we go. But I also think, Obama said from this piece, that anybody in this office who cares deeply about the future of this country will be looking and saying to themselves, the population is changing. The future workforce is going to have a lot more African American, Latino, and Asian workers. And if those populations don't feel fully assimilated into the culture, aren't performing at high levels educationally, aren't caught in the cycles of poverty, then that's not good for America's future. That's certainly how I feel. And I would think that any president would feel that way. Okay, fine. Nothing wrong with that. But then he gets into the race part of this. A guest at this event suggested that the Tea Party activists said they wanted to take back their country. But what they really meant was to stir up anger and anxiety at having a black president. And Obama did not dispute the idea. He agreed that there was a subterranean agenda in the anti-Obama movement, a racially biased one that was unfortunate. But he sadly conceded that there's little he could do about it. So little he could do about it. Sure, Obama, sure, it's all because you're black. What about all the people who voted for Obama because he was black? Only because he was black, apparently. Solely because he was black. How many black Americans did we hear? Oh, one of us is running. What of you? What of you what? Why is it that so many black Americans continue to be enslaved to this mentality that everything in their existence revolves around their pigmentation? One of the biggest problems facing the black community, if you want to use that term, is their obsession with their own blackness. Get over it. It's skin color. You're a person. You're an individual. You have a mind. You have a soul. You have a heart. You have dreams. You have ambitions. You have talents. You're a person, not a black person. Skin color is truly only skin deep. Yet, they continue to obsess with this, and the media and liberals feed it continuously. They're constantly working to divide Americans along racial lines to ensure that black Americans continue to vote overwhelmingly liberal. Even though it's done nothing to address the problems, many of it, in the black community. And America will always be billed as this racist country that has to be fundamentally changed by this Obamasiah or someone like him, when then we'll be all truly equal. Baloney. We're all equal now. Not equality of outcome or equality of results, but equality of opportunity. Just because you're white doesn't mean you have some inherent advantage anymore. Just because you're black doesn't mean you're inherently at a disadvantage. Trust me, I know. I've hired people. There have been people I've interviewed that I wouldn't give a job to who were white. There are people I would love to give jobs to and did because not because they're black, because of the way they presented themselves. The white person with the facial piercings and the tats everywhere and the attitude, who looked like they just got out of bed to come to a job interview? No, they didn't get the job. The well-dressed black person? They did. Why? Not because of skin color, but because the person who was, well, looked like they just got out of bed and got another tattoo and had a bad attitude, didn't matter they were white. It mattered that their attitude sucked, and I didn't want someone working for me like that. It's that simple. Get over the skin color, please. Now, since we're going to talk about something else about Obama here in a minute, but I want to talk about some of the jihadi nuttiness going on right now. Media Matters, or Media Marxist, as I call them, a left-wing organization that claims they keep their eye on the media and keeps them fair and above board. But as Dan Real reports, they're attacking an individual, a physician, and a man who founded something called the American Islamic Forum for Democracy, Dr. Zuni Jasser. They must be chasing Wahhabist petrodollars, Real comments. Their attack makes no sense at all, but that doesn't stop them from attempting to smear Jasser repeatedly. I suppose community activism is suddenly out of vogue, provided the activist in question disagrees with the left at Media Matters for America. Representative Peter King plans hearings beginning on March 10th to investigate the radicalization of the American Muslim community. Allegedly, with the aim of shining a light on the supposed failure of America's Muslim communities to cooperate with law enforcement officials investigating terrorist plots. His star witness is Dr. M. Zuni Jasser, a physician and former U.S. Navy medical officer with no background in law enforcement or public policy. Well, as Real points out, what Jasser is engaged, active, and interested in calling out fellow Muslims perceived as not having America's best interests at heart. We know this from simply observing the behavior of organizations such as CARE and others, though often subtle. What those groups do is trumpet a Muslim identity politics, or Islam over an American identity. In other words, don't assimilate. You're a Muslim first and forever. And to hell with being an American. So they're more concerned with Islam instead of our Constitution and our American culture. Jasser offers a competing view for that of that alone the left now seeks to silence him, Real opines. Dr. Jasser is president and founder of America's Islamic Forum for Democracy. A devout Muslim, Dr. Jasser founded AIFD in the wake of the 9/11 attacks on the United States as an effort to provide an American Muslim voice advocating for the preservation of the founding principles of the United States Constitution, liberty and freedom, and the separation of mosque and state. He is leading the fight to shake the hold that the Muslim Brotherhood and their network of American Islamist organizations and mosques have organized in America. These people, the Muslim Brotherhood, etc., they're part of the stealth jihadists, as Andrew McCarthy called them in his book, Stealth Jihad, or the Grand Jihad, excuse me. They want that flag of Islam to fly over the United States. That's what they want. Dr. Jasser helps to point that out. And when I say there are very good Muslims, patriotic Muslims, Dr. Jasser's the kind of Muslim I'm talking about. He may be a devout Muslim, but he doesn't take that religion and pervert it into somehow being an excuse to be anti-American or wanting to subvert or overthrow the government or destroy the Constitution or shred the Constitution in favor of the ass-backwardsness of Sharia law. Now, for those who think that this charge of Islamists wanting to change America and destroy our institutions and our cultures and our values, for those of you who think that's just over the top and just not right, consider this from the website, Sharia for America. In Islam, the public veneration of idols and statues is strictly prohibited. This has forced sincere Muslims to develop realistic plans that will aid in the removal of the, get ready for it, Statue of Liberty. Statue of Liberty, I guess, should wear a burqa or something. Right? I mean, a woman should know her place. Bitch has to know her place under Sharia law. Don't you know that? Due to the scale of the task at hand, it is highly likely that rigorous safety checks will need to be employed before the demolition of the Statue of Liberty can commence. Thus, as a temporary measure, it is proposed that a large burqa is used to cover the statue, thereby shielding this horrendous eyesore from public view, as well as sending a strong message to its French creators. Post-demolition, it is recommended that a minaret be built as a fitting replacement, allowing the glorification of God to be proclaimed daily, as well as act as a powerful reminder of the superiority of Islam over other ways of life. You know, you always hear the left talking about being multicultural and don't be judgmental and that you don't say you're better than someone else. Right. But yet they have no problem when Islamists like this make these proclamations. They have no problem with that. That's their definition of multicultural. All cultures are the same except for Western culture, which is apparently evil and insensitive and uninclusive and all these other things that are bad. Even a Western culture, well, just look around the globe sometime. Look at the westernized nations compared to the other nations. Compared to the nations living under Sharia law. Go ahead, do it sometime. Just take a gander at the stark differences there are in the quality of life of people living under Sharia law or people living in the West. And not even countries that are as free as the United States is. Yes, there are Islamists out there at war with the West, with our values, our constitution, our liberties. Don't forget that, folks. Now, let's get to a couple things that are likely to make my head explode again. The Obama State Department. There was an attack of U.S. servicemen in Germany. You probably heard about it. In Frankfurt, the Obama State Department has refused to call the jihadist attacks an act of terrorism. Now, for the Bluegrass Pundit, who writes this, a recently radicalized Muslim spends days on radical Islam sites. Then he yells Allah Akbar and launches a planned attack on U.S. servicemen in Germany. President Obama's State Department refuses to call this an act of terrorism. Instead, they compare it to, take a wild guess, folks. Take a wild guess. It's all about Arizona. Was the shooting of Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords a terrorist attack? I mean, you have to look at the evidence, look at the motivation, and then you make a judgment. Look at the motivation. The guy yelled Allah Akbar. He was a radical Muslim. He spent all his time on these radical Islamic sites. He targeted American servicemen. He was clearly a jihadist. There's no doubt. Why is it? And look, this isn't because the State Department is stupid. They may be stupid. But it isn't just because they're stupid. They're obsessed with this political correctness. Don't, again, multiculturalism. You can't judge one culture better than another. You can't judge. You could never jump to any conclusions unless it's about a Tea Party protester. You could jump to every conclusion in the world negative about them, but not about an Islamist terrorist who killed U.S. servicemen. There's something, though, Flippy Calderon, the president of the cesspool of Mexico. Nothing against the Mexican people. Their government is a cesspool. Flippy, all 4 foot 8 of him, was in the United States recently, and Obama did a press conference with him. If I were president, I would kick Calderon's ass every time I saw the little prick. I would beat the living hell out of him. He is not a friend of this country. He kicks us in the nuts every time he comes here. Blames every problem in Mexico on us. Demonizes us because we have border laws that are much less, to use his term, draconian, much less draconian than his country's border laws, by the way. And now, Obama has made a decision, talking over Flippy Calderon, there will be no arming of U.S. agents in Mexico. On Thursday, President Obama appeared to reject the idea of arming U.S. agents in Mexico, saying after a meeting with President Felipe Calderon that the two governments will look at other ways to protect American officials in the wake of a fatal shooting last month. This is from Fox News, by the way. Why in the hell would you want your agents in Mexico not armed and not best able to defend themselves? If I was an agent doing that, I'd quit right now. I'd say, to hell with you, Mr. President. To hell with this policy. I quit. It's not worth my life. If you don't care enough about me or my life or my service to this country, to hell with you. There are laws in place in Mexico that say that our agents should not be armed, Obama said. Oh, what about our laws that say Mexicans shouldn't illegally come here, President Obama? What about those laws? Now, Obama described the role of the U.S. south of the border as an advisory one. We do not carry out law enforcement activities inside of Mexico. Apparently, Mexico doesn't do a really good job of that either, Mr. President. The president's statement answers speculation about how far the administration would go in reforming safety measures and responses to the killing 3 weeks ago of immigration and customs enforcement agents, Jaime Zapata in Mexico. The shooting death raised questions in the U.S. about Mexico's ability to control violence. But U.S. officials earlier wouldn't say whether Obama would press the Mexican leader to allow U.S. agents to be armed. Why didn't he? I would have been grabbing Flippe by the collar and saying, they're going to be armed. You're not going to say a damn thing about it, Flippe. If you do, I'm going to stick my foot up your ass. Now go back to your cesspool government and try to fix your own country before you come here and kick us in the nuts about or daring to have immigration laws. Fuck you, President Calderon, you piece of trash. Excuse that. I don't usually say things like that on this show, but that little piece of trash pisses me off. Now to calm down and wrap up the show, I don't really have a weird sex story this week, but I have something sexually related. There's a study. Yes, a study. Staring at breasts increases heart health. That's right. That's right, folks. You heard me right. This is why feminists hate this study. That anything good for men, they hate. Because they hate men. Because men like to stare at women. Men are evil. It has to be bad. But no, it is beneficial to the heart. Now, some have called this study a hoax. I don't know if it is. I don't know if it isn't. But damn, it sounds good. Doesn't it? It just sounds good. So apparently, ogling women's breasts is good for men. Good for their hearts. So guys, you can feel good about checking out the babe in the tight sweater or the halter top. Don't worry about being called a sexist. Don't worry about that at all. Worry about your heart. Keep it healthy, my friends. I'm going out right now after I send the show in and finish editing it. I'm going to go and try to be as healthy as I can the rest of this Sunday. We'll talk to you next week, my friends. Good night. God bless. Thank you so much for listening. We do appreciate your patronage. Without you, there is no us at Gypsies. Remember the Facebook page, through my blog, thedeligator.wordpress.com, deligator.podomatic.com, where all my podcasts are, along with all these shows. Come to Chatango, talk to the host, talk to us. We want to hear what you think, my friends. Good night. God bless. We will talk to you next week. Oh, yeah. And go Gators.